I would like to now introduce our second presenter, Ms. Jane Fowler, who will be offering a personal perspective. A retired journalist, she currently devotes her time and energies to HIV AIDS prevention and education. After becoming an activist and public speaker in 1995, Jane co-founded the National Association of HIV Over 50, known as NAHOF. In late 2010, PAWS magazine named her one of the most 100 powerful, influential, and inspirational people working in the HIV/AIDS field in America today. Jane, I'd like to pass it on to you.
Thank you very much. On a frosty Friday morning in New York in January of 1974, I sat in the Rockefeller Center office of Barbara Walters, then co-anchor of NBC's Today Show. I was there as a member of the Kansas City Star's news staff to interview her for a story that would appear later in my newspaper. I was 38 years old, an enthusiastic young career woman, proud also to be a wife and mother. Fast forward through the years, on an autumnal Friday night in Kansas City, Missouri, in October 1998, I sat in my urban apartment in front of my television watching and listening to Barbara Walters, then on ABC's 2020 news magazine. From her host chair, Barbara introduced a segment, Safe Sex and Seniors, in which I would appear. I was 63 years old, still a proud mother, but now divorced, and my life course and work had changed. After more than 30 years as a print journalist, I found myself in a role reversal. No longer an interviewer, I had become the interviewee, answering questions instead of asking them. I am currently a spokesperson for a health cause that we all know is not chic, but stigmatized. In the edition of 2020 in which I figured, Barbara confirmed what we HIV activists already knew, that it is imperative to dispel the myth that adults over 50 or 60 or 70 don't have sex and therefore are not at risk for sexually transmitted diseases. Yet, now in 2011, having given hundreds of public speeches and scores of media interviews over the past 16 years, I continue to be amazed by the response of the general population, even healthcare clinicians and providers of aging services. How can old people be at risk, they ask, because this is a sexually transmitted disease? Truth is, yes, they can be at risk. The good news is that many persons in the aging population do still enjoy a good romp. Ray. But the bad news is that too many don't realize they must not have unprotected sex unless a couple is in a mutually monogamous relationship in which neither partner is STD infected. I don't pretend to have adopted this role of HIV prevention educator out of the goodness of my heart. No, at present, I'd rather be fully retired, spending time exclusively with my 7-year-old grandson, Milo, and my 5-year-old granddaughter, Matilda. They are a pair precious to me. So why do I do this work? Because I know the topic intimately, because I learned from a health insurance company blood test in 1991, at age 55, the surprising, devastating news that I am HIV positive. My immediate response was to retreat from my 30-year journalism career and tell only my family, including my octogenarian parents, and a small circle of close friends who were supportive and compassionate. For 4 years, I lived in semi-isolation until my only child, my then 31-year-old son, Stephen, proposed, "You're positive, then do something positive." Thus, I was empowered to embark on a new career as a public speaker, to stand up and say, "Look at this old, white, wrinkled, heterosexual face. This is another face of HIV. It's not who you are or how old you are, but what you do or don't do that leads to transmission of the virus." Since 1995, I've been out on the speaker circuit, sharing my story of having lived a traditional, conventional lifestyle. I was a 1950s good girl. Little booze, no recreational drugs, a virgin on my wedding night at the end of that decade. Naturally, being a good girl, I was monogamous for 23 years of marriage, a marriage that ended when my now ex-husband requested a divorce in order to marry his much, much, much younger paramour. What happened next is that I found myself dating again. For the first time in a quarter century, I didn't consider myself promiscuous. I didn't frequent the singles bars. I went out with men my age who, like me, had been married and were divorced. One man I saw frequently, an attractive, intelligent, amusing man of many interests, had been a good friend my entire adult life, a former co-worker who'd been an usher in my wedding party. He married after I did and divorced before I did. And because I knew I couldn't become pregnant, it didn't occur to me to ask that protection be used when we engaged in occasional sexual activity. I knew little about HIV/AIDS, only that a mysterious ailment was affecting the gay community. What did we heterosexuals have to fear? But at age 50, I contracted the virus. It happened over New Year's Eve when my friend and I went out of town to celebrate. We dined, we danced, we drank a little champagne, and we had sex. How can I be so certain of the date? Because of research I did after I received my diagnosis in January 1991. I read up on HIV. I studied my day-at-a-glance date books, kept yearly since 1958. They're like diaries. And I reviewed medical records in my physician's office. In this manner, I was able to establish the exact date of infection. Today, 24 years after that infection, 20 after diagnosis, 16 after going public, I spend countless hours endeavoring to raise awareness in the aging community, and just as importantly, among its medical and social service providers about HIV in this age group. I saw an even greater need for me to point out potential risks when I read a Wall Street Journal report that the number of single persons ages 55 to 64 had increased by 1.5 million in a four-year period. The newspaper article went on to say that the 50-plus crowd represents one of the fastest-growing segments of the U.S. dating services industry. I thought, wow, I really do need to reach, in particular, women who are widowed, divorced, or coming out of long relationships that have left them vulnerable or depressed, needy or naive, seeking love or just affection. Today, I am 75 years old and grateful to be blessed with good health, to never have progressed to AIDS. Since the introduction of what's known as highly active antiretroviral therapy, HART, my HIV has been kept in check. Within 2 months of beginning those medications 15 years ago, the test that checks the amount of virus in a person's blood indicated I was in the, quote, undetectable range, and I have consistently remained undetectable, for which I am grateful. But most of us who are older and living with HIV or AIDS are for the most part ignored and isolated, fearful to admit to our situations, and we face a double stigma, the stigma of having a virus that is contracted sexually or through injecting drug use, and the stigma of ageism. After all, common thinking is that grandma or grandpa should not have been out there screwing around or shooting up. Here is an example, a personal example, of ageism that I can share. I once had a young anesthesiologist ask me in a pre-op room where I was awaiting minor surgery about how my body reacts to blood transfusions. Well, I don't know, I answered, confused, because I've never had a transfusion. But you have HIV, he countered. I told that young man, you're looking at an old lady who got HIV through sex. So there. Thus, I remain passionate about my mission to make certain that seniors and their families, their providers and caregivers, understand how HIV is transmitted and prevented. I remind everyone, you never know the sexual history of anybody but yourself. I also like to tell older males who may find themselves suddenly especially frisky thanks to those performance-enhancing drugs, and now, if you can get it up, cover it up. My work as an activist brings me fulfillment as none has before. My years as a journalist, meeting people, seeing my byline weekly in the Kansas City Star, then monthly in Bon Appetit magazine, those were heady years for me. Now, more than at any point in my life, I like to think I'm making a kind of contribution to the health of mankind. Yes, I keep busy with my work for HIV Wisdom for Older Women, a national program I founded 9 years ago. It's a program of prevention and care directed to aging women of all racial and socioeconomic groups. For example, elder females may not realize that seeing a physician for a routine checkup does not ensure that an HIV test will be automatically included in a blood screening. That's right. Women may need to request that test. And why? Because providers, for the most part, continue to omit the topic of sexuality when dealing with seniors, especially women. We hear this is commonplace because young to mid-age clinicians often are reluctant to talk about sex with patients or clients who are old enough to be their parents or grandparents. This, however, is a practice that must be reversed. And if reversed, there might be fewer misdiagnoses of old people who are, in fact, HIV infected. These occur because HIV symptoms can be similar to those associated with aging. Think weakened immune system, weight loss, fatigue, respiratory or GI problems, depression, decreased cognitive or physical abilities. The result can be that HIV is not uncovered until after a patient has become ill with an AIDS-defining opportunistic infection. Thus, elder people often die sooner from AIDS complications than do the young. In my role as an educator, I never ask for sympathy or pity because I have HIV. Of course, I regret that 2 decades ago I wasn't knowledgeable about this disease and became infected. But I live with this virus as others live with cancer, ALS, Parkinson's, MS, congestive heart failure, any potentially terminal disease. Yes, I have HIV, but I do not allow it to control my life. My work gives me direction, and I also rely on welcome emotional support from family and friends who offer distractions that keep me from obsessing about my virus. What I ask of anyone who hears or reads my words is to remember my message. Many in the older set are becoming newly infected, while others are living and aging with HIV/AIDS. Please help me in my efforts to educate so that someday we may rejoice together that this virus has at last been eradicated.
Jane, thank you so much for sharing your story. We are privileged to have you on this webinar with us today. I do want to share, Jane was a panelist on a video. It's an excellent video that talks about HIV in middle age. And if you'd like to get a free copy of this episode, you can request a DVD of the program HIV in Middle Age by sending an email to Karen Heller, who manages the program. Her email is listed there, and send her your mailing address.